The party's not over. Y'all need to go to iTunes, goddammit, or Google Play. I'ma let this ride for a second, y'all. But y'all need to go get that new mix slide pre-order right now. Come on, ride.
We left the party, the club was on, baby. It's much too early.
Come on, y'all. What's up, y'all? Welcome to today's episode of Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuning in. We're going to chop up some good game on today's show, as we always do. Oh, it's going to be a fun show today. And I'm on time. I think today's Wednesday. Shit. I don't like to date the shows, but I'm here. We're going to have a good conversation on today's show. Let everybody know that we're live right now. Let's take that real quick commercial break, and we'll be right back right after these messages.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Distant future, a global insurgency is on the rise. During this revolution, a malicious militant group plans to bring it into a whole new level until a U.S. Marine named John Knight is ready for the fight. Will our hero bring them down, or will this group lead us into a new world order? Find out by reading the graphic novel John Knight by Jose DeFord, now available on ETSY.com and PayDev.com.
What's up, guys? Check out the brand new album by Professor Archibald called Surviving America. This is his second album, and you're going to really love it and enjoy it. This album is streaming on all platforms, Tidal, Spotify, YouTube, Apple. Get it right now on all those platforms. Also, if you are an artist, filmmaker, video game creator, or if you have a podcast and you need background music or any other type of music production work, you can contact him via email at archiebeats28@gmail.com. Or you can DM him on Twitter at archieprofess. That's ARCHIEPROFESS.
Hey, guess what? There's never been a better time to learn how to trade. I'm not talking about trading stocks or bonds. I'm talking about cryptocurrencies. There's been plenty of beginners who've made thousands and even millions of dollars trading in these markets. It's simple to do, and it's never been easier. This virus is a real game changer. It's leveling the playing field. If you want to get your money game on point, it's time for you to get in and learn how to trade. Visit us at theultimateparttimejob.com. That's theultimateparttimejob.com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I ain't gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I said, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a
hoe. What's going on, guys? We're back. We're back. Welcome back to Tariq Radio. Glad to have y'all tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, it's a new month. This is the month of April, so you know we got to be on top of our game. I always warn people. Every April, you got to be ready. The white supremacists, they really get extra busy during April. April is also a ritualistic month for some of the elites, as they call them. But the white supremacists, it's a very spiritual month for them. They like to do a lot of blood sacrifices in the month of April. So you got to be very careful in the month of April. And by the way, like I said earlier, guys, go right now, get that pre-order, get that Mink Slide Crushed Velvet album. Go get the pre-order right now at iTunes and Google Play. Crushed Velvet, the new album by Mink Slide. Everybody, I want you to pre-order it now. The pre-order is only $8, so everybody can get that now. You can use some of your stimulus package paper to get that $8. But go to iTunes and Google Play right now. And if you're watching me live on YouTube, there's a link right there below in the comment section. And y'all just hit that link and get that popping. Let's give a special bless up to our brother Nipsey Hussle. Yesterday was the anniversary. This is the first year that our brother transitioned. Very melancholy type of vibe and day yesterday, but we celebrate our brother's life. And did you guys see the trailer, the first trailer for the new documentary about Nipsey Hussle and Dr. Sebi that Nick Cannon is producing? Did y'all see it? It's called Strong Enemies, and the trailer is powerful. Y'all need to go to my dude Nick Cannon's page and check that out now, or you can watch it here on YouTube. That thing is going to be a monster. Oh, that trailer was hot, hot, hot. It looked great. He had us in black and white, all the people he interviewed, that was in black and white. I love the way that looked. That was a very different look, a different vibe. I loved it, loved it, loved it. Yeah, it has, somebody said it has a very hidden colorish vibe. Well, you had me and a couple other people from Hidden Colors in the film. I'm in it. As you saw, I'm in there. The rapper Common, he's in there. My brother RZA Islam is in there. Erykah Badu is in there. Michael Eric Dyson is in there. I think brother Kaba is in there too. He wasn't in this particular trailer. But, oh man. And yeah, some other people I have some ideological disagreements with. They're in there, but I'm not even tripping on that because there's a bigger picture here, see? There's a much bigger picture here. We're getting the messages out, so I don't trip on the little petty differences that I have with one or two folks who might be involved. I ain't tripping on that. That's some secondary shit. The message is great, and this is for my brother. Nipsey was my brother. That was my homie. And doing something to honor his life, you know, that's something that I can put the bullshit aside for, to get that out there. You understand? But that's going to be a monster. It's called Strong Enemies. I don't know when it's coming out, but this is my first time seeing the trailer along with everybody else. I filmed my part months ago. So this thing is going to look real fly, man. I cannot wait for it to come out. I cannot wait for it to come out. You understand? And speaking of my brother Nipsey, have y'all noticed that y'all haven't seen or heard nothing about his killer, Eric Holder, a.k.a. Shitty Cuz? Notice nothing. There's nothing about this dude. He almost basically disappeared. You don't hear nothing about the trial. You don't hear nothing about what's going on with this dude. There's no follow-ups on when the pre-trial, when the follow-up trial, nothing. You don't hear anything going on with that damn trial. it sounds like this dude is being protected. I don't want y'all to miss that. I don't want y'all to miss that. The media ain't saying nothing. We talk about Nipsey, and, you know, the marathon continues and we honor our brother's life. But I just don't want y'all to miss. You don't hear nothing about the court date for this shitty cuz, dude. Now the courts are closed and a lot of things are in slow motion now because of this coronavirus. And speaking of that, they're talking about releasing that Tekashi 6ix9ine dude because of the coronavirus. So there's a lot of talk of that. But back to the Eric Holder guy, you just never heard anything. You don't hear anything else about that dude. So don't miss that, all right? Because like I said in a few weeks ago, see, white supremacy, it's all about punishing innocent black people. The system of white supremacy, to really show their dominance, to show that you're supreme. See, punishing a guilty black person, that's nothing. That doesn't mean anything. You really flex your power when you can harm, kill, or railroad an innocent black person. That's how you flex your white supremacy power. And I told people before, you always see innocent black people getting harmed, but a lot of black people who are guilty for doing certain things, they almost seem like they're being protected. Like this Eric Holder dude. The fact that he would be able to be back and forth on the streets knowing his track record, this kind of proves what I'm saying. Down there in Alabama, when that innocent black man got lynched by that white supremacist governor down there, that female white supremacist governor who allowed an innocent black man to get executed for a crime he didn't do. He was at somebody's house, and the person's house he was at, it got raided, and then the dude start shooting at the cops. The man who had nothing to do with the shooting, they executed him, but the actual shooter is still alive. He's in jail, but he's still alive. You see how that works? See, this is how you flex white supremacy by getting guilty black people and punishing them. Kay Ivey, that's her name. See, that's how you flex your white supremacy. And this is what we're going to talk about on today's show. Today's show, we're talking about degenerate culture. And white supremacy is all about degeneracy. It is a degenerate culture. As our brother Neely Fuller says, there's a lot of good things that the white supremacists have done. They've done a lot of great things technologically. But on the flip side of that, they are a degenerate culture. White supremacy, by definition, is degenerate because you got to understand how white supremacy thinks. And a great insight into how the daily lives of the white supremacists is, you go check out this series on Netflix called Tiger King. If you really want to understand the daily workings of everyday white supremacy, y'all really need to watch this series. This is six or seven parts of it. And it's about the exotic animal industry and all the cutthroat business that goes on with it. But this documentary series is very interesting because it just shows how cutthroat these suspected white supremacists are. The white supremacists, they're all about dominating. Their whole lives revolves around dominating. They have to dominate something. And if they cannot dominate us, they have to dominate something like animals. Notice all of these people in the documentary. And for those who haven't seen it, you should watch it on Netflix. But many of you have seen it. It's a very popular series right now. But in this series, you have a bunch of these redneck hillbilly suspected white supremacists all around the country in these little pockets in middle America, who a lot of them engage in this underground illegal animal trafficking, and they were battling some of the animal rights people and the exotic animal people. They're scandalous and cutthroat. Even the animal rights people were scandalous and cutthroat. There are a bunch of meth heads, Oh, my God. And I let people know, when you go outside of the major cities in this country and start going into middle America, these are the people you're going to see. I've talked about this for years. You go through middle America, boy, you start seeing these toothless, meth out, the hills have eyes looking ass people that are scary. They look like demonic zombies. They're very degenerate people. It's a mess. All of these places where black people are not. See, this is the thing. This is what kills me about so many black people wanting to be accepted by the dominant society. For what? Because, see, I lived as a child. I lived in Leeds, Alabama. And I trust me, I've seen some of these inbred hillbillies that you see on Tiger King. I've seen them growing up as a kid. So that made me so pro-black. I'm like, I ain't trying to be like them at all. So this is not nothing new to me, but it's just good to see. It's interesting to see them show that side of white society, because they always try to show the polished side of white society. And the thing is, with these people, these suspected white supremacists, they have to dominate. And in these little pockets around the country, you don't have too many black people. And when they don't have black people in their immediate vicinity to dominate and kick around, they have to dominate something. And this is why some of these people were so enthralled with animals, getting these exotic animals from Africa and Asia, getting these animals, these powerful animals, these beautiful animals, and dominating them. You have them, you're breeding them, you're beating them, training them, domesticating them as much as you can. You can't really fully domesticate those type of animals, but there's just a strong desire for these suspected white supremacists. They get off on doing this, dominating these creatures. Not even the exotic animals, just animals, period. And there's always this white supremacist undertone when they do this. And when you looked at this exotic, at this Tiger King thing, a lot of these exotic animal trainers and these people who had these little old hillbilly zoos, they would have these zoos that they would put on shows, and they make a pretty good piece of money doing this. And they made a lot of money illegally selling these animals and breeding them. So, you know, they're doing, it's like an open secret. They shouldn't be doing it, but it's like, we're white and we get certain levels of protection. But a lot of them had all these kind of sexual, these little sexual things, very, these sexual quirks. You know, they would bring these almost underage women in. Some of these guys would have multiple women that they would date, and they looked like they would get them while they were underage, but they weren't admitting this on the show. The main guy, Joe Exotic, he was a gay white man, a gay redneck hillbilly who was clearly looking like some kind of Trump supporter. So he's this gay redneck, and he had two husbands, two hillbilly redneck husbands, and all of them own meth. They got all these little sexual, all this little weird sexual stuff going on. A lot of little weird sexual stuff going on. And again, them with these sexual things going on and them wanting to dominate animals so much, they were just enthralled and infatuated with dominating animals. That says a lot. And they were on some shit where they were carrying their guns around all the time, and they're on some NRA type of shit. If anybody comes to take my animals, they're going to have to take my guns, and making all of these wild threats. And that reminded me of Clive and Bundy. They all had that Clive and Bundy type of vibe. And Clive and Bundy, he was another guy who went to war with the government over some damn animals. So this thing about them dominating, the white supremacists, they have to dominate. They have to dominate animals, because if we're not around, they're going to have to dominate something. Yeah, they were feeding the animals Walmart meat. I mean, it was real crazy. But Clive and Bundy, let's go back to him. Remember, this guy was ready to go to war with the government because they're telling him he can't dominate the animals. They're going to come and take his cattle, So these white supremacists are willing to fight and die to control and breed their animals. And they all fight each other to do this. See, that's what really the Civil War was about. The white supremacists was like, well, the Southern white supremacists, because the Northern white supremacists were just the same. But the Southern white supremacists were telling the North, hey, you don't tell us what we can do with our animals, our niggers. We'll fight you so we can be able to keep dominating our niggers and keep growing our economy, and we'll branch off from you. They're willing to fight to maintain dominance and control over their animals. You understand? And when these white supremacists don't have us around, they degenerate all the way to hell, because they need us around for them to get on code. When we're around, when black people are around, the white supremacists get on code. That's when they get on code with each other. That's when they'll put all their differences aside and get on code. They say, well, we got to put all our bullshit together so we can dominate these Negroes, because they'll take over both of us while we're fighting. So when we come around, or when we're around, they get on code. That's why in major cities, most of the white people are on code with each other, because we live in close vicinity. We live in close vicinity, so they have to stay on code. Now, in these little hillbilly pockets all over the country where there's not a lot of black people, and these people were living, these animal trainers and these animal sellers who had these little hillbilly zoos, they were living in these places where there weren't a lot of black folks. And when they dominate animals, they still have to dominate other things. When we're not around, they have to dominate each other. See, this is why we're needed in a system of white supremacy, to save the white supremacists from themselves. They are cutthroat with each other. And if you look at this documentary, they are so cutthroat with each other. This is why black folks need to study them. See, you can't look for no compassion from these people. See, black folks got this thing where we want to go whining to the white supremacists, telling them how bad we're hurt and how bad we're treated. Y'all don't understand how ruthless and cutthroat they are with each other. These folks will cut each other's throat, snitch on each other, put out hits on each other. These people were putting hits out on each other. They put out a hit on the animal rights woman. The animal rights woman, she was like a millionaire, and people suspect that she killed her husband and fed him to a damn tiger, and they can't find her damn husband, and she got all this damn money. So all of these people, Carol something, so all of these people were on some degenerate shit. Both sides, Carol Baskin, that's her name, they're saying that this woman killed her husband and fed him to a fucking tiger because they can't find his ass, and she got all this money and a new husband. So these people were showing you open degeneracy. They were funky looking. They didn't have, a lot of them didn't have no teeth. They were living in trailer parks. And it's very interesting. They kept getting access to money. Even though these were dirtbag degenerate hillbillies, they knew how to get access to money. That's one thing you need to learn. The white supremacists, they know how to find some money. They do know how to hook up with certain people and find some damn paper. Now, they'll finesse each other out of it, but they know how to find a little paper. And this Joe Exotic guy, this is the main guy, the main gay white supremacist suspect. One thing I noticed, he kept wearing a lot of Native American trinkets. He had like Native American neck bands and Native American coats. Now, he never admitted or said anything about being Native American, but I just kept noticing all the little outfits he had. Now, this is a lily white man, so I'm thinking he's probably one of these $5 Indians who got a bunch of land, because he had a lot of land out there in Oklahoma. That's where he had his little animal reserve. So I'm thinking this dude did the whole $5 Indian hustle and got access to some damn Indian land. So they didn't admit this, but I think he's another one of them Dog the Bounty Hunters. You know, Dog the Bounty Hunter is another goddamn $5 Indian. Yeah, he walks around with those Indian trinkets. So again, these people got all types of hustles, scams, and finesses. That's all they do is finesse. I want black people to get off this thing about us black people, we got to do better. Better than who? Every time a black person commits a crime, we sitting around talking about how fucked up we are. Man, we got to get together. Black people, man, we got to do better, man. We got to really pull our people up by our bootstraps. We got to really do better. Better compared to who? Just because some goofy nigga commits a crime, that is not indicative of all of us, and nobody is at liberty to point the fingers telling us what we should and should not do, especially the white supremacists. They thrive on pulling con games and pulling twists and scamming and hustling. That's all they do in white supremacist society, black people. I hate to break it to you. Black people think because we're on the nightly news getting arrested all the time that white society is all upstanding and respectable and they play by the book. No, they don't. No, they don't. They always got some kind of scam or hustle going on where they're trying to undermine and buck the system. It's been like that. And they're looked at as heroes. Many of these people on this show, they're kind of looked at as folk heroes now. This Joe Exotic dude, they got him in jail now for putting out a hit on the animal rights lady. But even going back to the 1930s during the Great Depression, there was a crime wave in white supremacist society. In white society in the 1930s, there was a major crime wave. And they didn't look at white society on some shit, well, we got to do better. No. They made heroes out of the criminals from the 1930s. Bonnie and Clyde, Pretty Boy Floyd, Machine Gun Kelly, not the rapper, the real one, Dillinger, all of these people, Al Capone, all of these people were around during the Great Depression. And they're folk heroes to this day. You understand? Now, somebody in the chat room, they said that Cardi B is trying to help Joe Exotic. Is that true? Because I'm seeing a lot of black people kind of caping for the Joe Exotic dude. There's a lot of black people. Jesse James was earlier. He was in the Wild Wild West in the 1800s. But that's another one. Dutch Schultz. All of those people, they look at them as folk heroes. They look at them as folk heroes. And let me say this to black folks, because I'm seeing a lot of black folks kind of putting on the cape for the Joe Exotic dude. Now, let's be very clear. There's a lot of stuff that they didn't show you in that Netflix series about Joe Exotic. Because when you see a mullet like that and when you see that hillbilly fucking accent and him running around with the guns and all that stuff, see, there's a lot of stuff they didn't show on there. But I found some stuff online. Did y'all see the clip online of Joe Exotic up here talking about how he can't use the damn N-word? Hold on. Let me play that clip since y'all want to put the cape on for Joe Exotic and Cardi B wants to cape for Joe Exotic, because I think some black folks are looking at him like a marginalized underdog, and black people have this thing where they want to have some kind of camaraderie with other groups. And y'all better get off that shit. Ain't no camaraderie with nobody. This is Joe Exotic. For any Negro out here caping for Joe Exotic, this is Joe Exotic talking about why he can't use the N-word.
What's going on here in this country? It's absolutely pathetic. I can't say the N-word, but you can get on YouTube and watch any black man's rap video, and they're calling each other the N-word. What the hell? Is this discrimination? I'm white. I can't say the N-word, and they can't?
Okay, so that's Joe Exotic talking about how come he can't say the damn N-word. See, we got to stop caping for these damn folks. We really got to stop caping for people. So he's another suspected white supremacist just from that clip alone. That lets me know what I need to know about him. Now, this guy's in the middle of nowhere. Ain't no black folks out there where he is. See, this is just like Clive and Bundy. Remember with Clive and Bundy, they're talking about animals. They're talking about his cattle. Then all of a sudden, Clive and Bundy was like, oh, yeah, about my cattle. Oh, yeah, forget about the cattle. About the Negro. Let's talk about the Negroes. And they're like, oh, shit, what the hell is that about? So now this Joe Exotic guy, what the hell is he talking about saying the damn N-word for? What the hell does that have to do with you and your goddamn animals? What the hell does that have to do with any? Ain't no black folks out there near your little animal compound, dude. So, yeah, y'all got to let these people hold their own nuts, family. We got to let these people hold their own nuts. And this guy, this Joe Exotic, it took them, you know, they had to get all types of other evidence to get this dude in jail, even to bring charges on him, because this dude was openly making threats to this animal rights lady. I mean, this dude was like, yeah, we gonna kill that bitch. I mean, he's making dolls of her and shooting at the dolls. I mean, this dude was for years making open threats against this woman. And they still, the feds need to get all this evidence, and they need to get informants and all this stuff to actually get in there to admit that they got money from him to kill her. I'm like, wow, boy, it really takes a lot to put you white supremacists in jail. I mean, this dude was just blatant with it. And I wouldn't be surprised if the dude got out of jail early. At the end of the series, they said he got 22 years in jail, and I wouldn't be surprised if he got out early. I wouldn't be surprised. But looking at that show, and look at some of the pictures now, you see the degenerate shit that these folks are into. I really wish black people get their self-esteem off the floor and stop looking to the dominant society to compare yourself to feel inferior, because so socially and militarily, you are in an inferior position. But culturally and genetically, you're not. Y'all just need to take a drive through middle America and see what these white supremacists look like when you're not around, because when you're not around and it's just them to themselves, they start turning on each other and just fall into degeneracy. This country is full of inbred, methed out, wet dog smelling, stank ass, lice infested white supremacist hillbillies in these little pockets all in middle America. And that's just what it is. So when I see Negroes trying to kiss ass and suck up to that, y'all need to stop. You really need to stop. And another thing, again, this guy, Joe Exotic, he's a white LGBT dude. And this is why I tell you guys, there is no such thing as some intersectionality with the white LGBT community. The conservative white LGBT and the liberal white LGBT, they are the most anti-black racist you ever want to meet in your life. There is no intersectionality. Get that through your damn heads, black people. And family, we got to stop falling for the bait and switch con job with these intersectionalists. Because I saw something on the Color of Change website. They were talking about they're going to have some kind of online forum talking about how the COVID-19 is going to affect black people. And they had some of the Black Lives Matter leaders that's going to be a part of this forum. And I'm like, I already know where that's going. They're going to talk about something black for 1 minute and then flip it into some damn LGBT minority. We all in this together talk. This, ladies and gentlemen, is why that type of talk is extremely dangerous. All these intersectionalists, these intersectionality niggas, these are the dudes and women that are enemies to black society. They have to be called out immediately. Anybody who has a track record of talking that intersectionality garbage, we got to get them out the paint. And don't let them talk black. They'll talk black at first because now they know they're going to have to talk black and use the word black initially to lure us in, because we're so on code right now. And I'm so proud of Foundation of Black Americans for being this on code. They know we're not going to even get into the discussion unless they're talking about what's going to be done for black folks. So watch the bait and switch, family. Please watch the bait and switch and watch these forums and watch who's on these forums. When you see some Black Lives Matter folks and all these look out for Color of Change, and if you see a Tarana Burke or any of the Ava DuVernays and the Cynthia Erivos and the Loveys and all these people, when you see them anywhere near a forum or anybody associated with them near a forum, it's about to be some fuckery. it's about to be some fuckery. That's why we can't have these folks tell our stories and control the narratives of our history. Because, see, let's go back to that Madam C.J. Walker show that was on Netflix, since we're talking about Netflix, and I talked about that the other day. On that Madam C.J. Walker show, it was called Self-Made, it was clearly somebody white on top, some of the white executives. They said, hey, we'll make this movie about Madam C.J. Walker. One thing, don't make it offensive to white people and don't make white people look guilty of anything. They clearly got orders from somebody on the top who told them, hey, don't make white people look like the enemy here. That's why everybody in that film who was an enemy was black. It was black man. And then the black women were enemies of each other. But the white people were the good guys in that bullshit. And then they put that janky, jive-ass LGBT storyline on that history, which was extremely disrespectful. And the thing is, with a story like Madam C.J. Walker, her history and her story is so profound, they didn't have to do that. Telling the real story about Madam C.J. Walker, that would have been phenomenal enough. What they should have been telling you was the truth about how Madam C.J. Walker pioneered the direct sales industry. See, the white supremacists know this, but they throw all this other gutter shit on top of the history so that you won't really dig and see what she was really doing. Well, let's look at the history of Madam C.J. Walker. Because in that show, and look, I did a whole thing about it. I did something called The Color Purple 2 a few days ago, so y'all need to listen to that. But what y'all have to understand is this. There was a sister named Annie Malone. She had a product. I think it was called Poro. I think that was the name. It was a hair care product for black women around the same time. As a matter of fact, Madam C.J. Walker worked for her. Madam C.J. Walker got the game from that lady, and she used a similar formula for her own product. What Madam C.J. Walker did, I think she added some type of perfumes or something to mask the scent of the sulfur that was in the hair product. So she kind of made it slightly different, but it was pretty much the same product. Now, why did Madam C.J. Walker and her brand become more successful? It was Poru. I think it was Poro or Poru. Poru. It was something like that. That was the name of Annie Malone's product. But why did Madam C.J. Walker's product become more successful? See, this is the question they should have answered, because in the movie, they did ask that question. The Annie Malone character was like, why is she selling more product than me? Why is her product more successful than mine? And they never really went into it. They turned it into some stupid ass colorism bullshit. You understand? It was Poro. I was right. It was Poro. That was the name of it. The reason why Madam C.J. Walker was more successful, because remember, it was basically the same product. Madam C.J. Walker revolutionized a new marketing strategy. It was the direct sales strategy, the multi-level networking strategy. That wasn't really done before at that time. I want y'all to understand this. This is why they talked about having Walker Girl. She had these sales reps, and they mentioned the 10,000 sales reps she had. But they didn't go into it. They were talking about, well, you got an army. Yeah, I got an army. But they didn't go in the details of it. At that time, that was revolutionary, having all of those sales reps. And what they would do, they would give incentives to other sales reps to bring other people in. And this was revolutionary at the time. This was very revolutionary at the time. And it's my conjecture that Madam C.J. Walker probably did this. She had multiple sales reps and different distribution outlets and other people doing multi-level marketing for her company so that one location wouldn't be targeted. Because at that time, black people and successful black businesses, they would get targeted. They would do just like Tulsa, Oklahoma. They'd just go blow it up or just shoot it up or go lynch the owner. But when you had a network like this of 10,000 people all around the country representing your product, they can't target one person. So that's my conjecture. That could have been her motivation. But nevertheless, Madam C.J. Walker created the direct sales technique in marketing. That's why she was so successful. And other white companies took the game from her and they started doing what Madam C.J. Walker did. This is what Avon started doing. How they got the Avon lady? They got that from Madam C.J. Walker. Avon is basically, they're successful because they have a direct sales network and multi-level marketing, how they can bring other people in to become Avon ladies. That's where that came from, y'all. That shit came from Madam C.J. Walker. Amway, those Amway products, same thing. They got the game from Madam C.J. Walker. You can become an Amway girl. You can sell Amway products and bring other people in, give them commission, do it door to door. Mary Kay, same thing. Mary Kay got the game from Madam C.J. Walker. Before there was a Mary Kay girl and an Avon lady, there was the Walker girl. But they don't tell you this. You know why? Because they don't want to tell you a black person born on a fucking slave plantation came up with a brilliant marketing strategy that everybody's using now. That's the history you're supposed to tell. Don't start talking about some bullshit lesbian relationship and colorism and all that. This sister revolutionized marketing and how you sell a product. Herbalife got the game from her. They try to make it seem like the Herbalife guys and that guy, forgot his name. He got started in the 1930s. All of these people got started decades after Madam C.J. Walker, after she made that template successful. Everybody got the game from her. Girl Scouts, Girl Scout cookies, same thing. Network marketing, they got the game from Madam C.J. Walker. Nobody was doing it before her. Go look it up. Go look at, see, she was doing her thing early 1900s all the way up until she died. She died in like 1919, I think. I think that's when she died. So when you talk about direct sales and network marketing, they omit that sister. She was the template. And they go out of their way to act like she didn't create that whole game. You understand? That was revolutionary. That was a brilliant marketing strategy. And remember, you got to understand, the early 1900s, they had to get the template from a black person. The early 1900s, white supremacist society, they were more degenerate than they are now. So they weren't really trying to network and do legitimate business with each other. In the early 1900s, boy, do you know how scandalous white people were back then? They were doing nothing but crimes. Because you had a flood of immigrants coming in, so all of them were battling each other. White ethnic groups, there was all types of white ethnic tension all around the country. The only people who were really on code at the time were black people. This is why we can get on code and do business with each other and network. Everybody was getting that that Madam C.J. Walker plug in black society. In white society, they were cutting each other's fucking throats. Remember the Gangs of New York movie? That was around it took place around that time frame. They would beat each other in the fucking brains. So they couldn't trust each other to have that type of network in the early 1900s. They were too cutthroat with each other. The mafia, all them people were coming into prominence. And speaking of the mafia, speaking of the Italians, right after Madam C.J. Walker died, there was an Italian immigrant who came over. And remember, a lot of those Italian immigrants, they were connected to the mafia. So they were coming over trying to pull twists and pull scams. There was one Italian immigrant who came over in the early 1900s, but he got his con game and he might have gotten the template from Madam C.J. Walker. This network marketing thing, it was a pyramid type of business model. It was a pyramid business model. So you had this one Italian immigrant named Charles Ponzi, who probably saw that pyramid economic strategy and said, hey, I can do that on another level. So Charles Ponzi started to sell fake stocks and fake paperwork of a non-existent company to all these different investors, telling them, oh, you're going to get big money. If you put a little money here, I'm going to get some money from this person, and we're going to get you a product, and you're going to double your money. So he was using that whole thing, which was basically what Madam C.J. Walker was doing legitimately. And then that shit collapsed, and they said at the time he probably got, like, finesse people out of $20 million or something like that. So that's where the term Ponzi scheme came from. I'm bringing that shit home. That's where the term Ponzi. This shows you how scandalous they were. They were too scandalous to do legitimate business at the time. If they saw something legit that works in their minds, fuck it. How can I use this to scam people? How can I use this to get over? That was their mentality. So when they started to get their minds right a little bit, around the 1930s, the 1940s, they tried to get on code a little bit. This is when they got all the racial categories together. We're going to drop some heat tonight. I want y'all to understand history. Remember, in the early 1900s, there were people who were white, but they weren't classified as white. So there were, again, a lot of ethnic beefs, a lot of ethnic tensions. So they would finesse each other. After the 1930s, going into the 1940s, then they started to really codify what being white was. They started to let other groups into whiteness. So they tried to codify that a little bit. So they started to get on code. So they said, okay, let's start doing some legitimate business with each other right now. So that's when the Mary Kays and the Neutralites and the Amways and all these people started popping up. You understand? So we got to understand the history of the game here and some of the things that we created that we don't get credit for. That's the stuff that you're supposed to talk about with Madam C.J. Walker. That's why she was so successful, and they don't like to talk about that. That's what a young kid needs to learn when they see a Madam C.J. Walker. Learn her business model. See, this is why I talk about certain people that they don't like to bring up, like Biddy Mason, another black woman that I'm always talking about, how she revolutionized the real estate game. That woman was one of the earliest wealthy people in Los Angeles, a former slave. See, they don't want to give it up to somebody who was a former slave who was self-made. They hate to give it up to a black person who was a former slave, who got their comeuppance, and they didn't have a white person helping them. See, they'll give credit to Booker T. Washington because, see, Booker T. Washington, he was chosen by the white rich people. See, at that time, the early 1900s, you only had like a handful of rich people. There was no middle class. This is why the white supremacy, they were so goddamn scandalous. There was no middle class. The middle class in this country started really in the 1940s. Before, there was no goddamn middle class either. You were a white person, you were rich, or you were poor. There was no middle class. You were rich or struggling, for the most part. You were rich or you were working class, but there was no real middle class. You know? You had a handful of white families running everything. The Rockefellers, the Carnegies, the Rothschilds. You had a handful of white families really hoarding all the wealth. You understand? So they don't like to show you that part of the game. They don't like to give you that part of the game, guys. So this is why it's very important. Yeah, the Vanderbilt is very important for us to put the game out there. It's very important for us to tell the story and tell the history. And we're in a situation now where history is being written with this COVID-19. This thing is still ravaging the country. It's still ravaging the world. People still don't know what's going on with it. One thing I have to say, my LA people, I want y'all to be careful, and I want black people to be careful all around the country, but I saw something very disturbing the other day. Down in South Central LA, there was a children's birthday party. It's like 20 people out there, and boy, the police came out there in droves. They came out there riot ready. I'm talking about dozens and dozens of officers with helicopters and the whole nine for a damn kid's birthday party. I'm talking about, I think the kid was 1 year old. It was a one-year-old or something like that. So they had all of that excessive force for a damn party for a one-year-old down in South Central. So the block was real pissed off about that. And some of those mothers out there were trying to fight the cops low-key. So I want my family out here in L.A. Be careful out here. These white supremacists, they're very slick. They'll try to trap you up. The video is all over the place. There's this video of them running up on the folks. And I think that was very cowardly. And I seen a couple of coons online. Well, they should have obeyed the order and kid. That's what their own nigga get. I hate Samboism because let me tell you something. White people, they've been breaking the order nonstop, and they make excuses. There was a bunch of white people up in Brentwood going to the farmer's market by the thousands out there. They didn't bring the helicopters and all that shit, and I heard some white supremacy defenders talking about, well, that's essential because they go out there and they get food for the farmer's market. Shut the fuck up, because if it was a bunch of black people out there at the farmer's market, they'd bring them same helicopters up there, and white people be all at the beach. They were all at the damn beaches. They didn't have the helicopters and the police running up on them at the beach. White people were up at Runyon Canyon last week by the thousands violating the code. They didn't have all the helicopters and the cops out there threatening the white people. So remember, the targeting is racial. I don't give a shit how many white supremacists deny it. They do racial targeting. And this is the sweet part of the karma, because while they're running out here trying to intimidate and threaten the black people in South Central, who really don't have it in large numbers, black people out there, you don't have the COVID-19 in large numbers out there in the black areas. Brentwood, since they're letting them cavort around with each other and run around with each other and go out and they let them violate the order, Brentwood is actually a hotspot for the COVID-19 virus. In Los Angeles County, the Brentwood area, I think it's like in the top four of the hotspots where a lot of the coronavirus is popping up. So y'all are helping the white people up there in Brentwood get more of the damn coronavirus by not enforcing the order with them. See, this is how white supremacy is messing up on itself. White supremacy is backfiring on itself. See, you want to try to use a virus and practice white supremacy with a virus that you can't really control. See, we're talking about nature. And the white supremacists, they like to dominate and control everything. And you're not really dominating this virus. This is nature taking place now. So, you can't really control this. You can't control it. And let me tell you something about this damn virus. We still don't know if this is some type of urban warfare brought on by China. There's a lot of evidence for that. There is still a lot of evidence for that, that this is a form of warfare. We have to look at this thing from all angles. There is a possibility. Family, I want y'all to go check out a book. You can't really get the book right now because the book is sold out. And I'm not talking about that book from 1981 where they talked about a virus coming from the Wuhan area. It was that book by, what was that guy's name? This book came out in 81 where they talked about a virus coming out of China that's going to infect the world. This is a different book. This is a different book. And people in the chat room, what's the name of that book from 1981 that talked about the virus coming out of Wuhan? What's the name of that book? Dean Koontz. Yes, Dean Koontz. It's Dean Koontz's book from 1981. But this is another book, guys. There was another book that came out in 1999. This book was written in Chinese. It was from some military guys from China. Some military figures in China, they wrote a book called Unrestricted Warfare. All right. And I think you can get the Kindle version of this book. And this book came out in 1999. And this book talks about how to target the United States. The name of the full name of the book is called Unrestricted Warfare: China's Master Plan to Destroy America. This came out in 1999, guys. And they talked about how, because the United States is militarily stronger, how can they wage war against the United States and attack the United States biologically and economically? Because you cannot attack them or compete with them militarily as far as outright violence. Okay? It's called Unrestricted Warfare: China's Master Plan to Destroy America. All the shit in that book is coming true right now. You understand? They talked about and they sat down and they figured out, okay, how can we take on this country that has us dominated militarily? We can't do it that way, so we got to come up with another strategy, because all warfare is deception. Warfare is all about deception. And warfare is not about who has the biggest tanks and who has the biggest fighter jets. The military is in the mind. The military is in the mind. And you have these people in Asia who many believe they unleashed this thing and attacked China first, and it spread. They made sure that they had people from China go around the world. This is the conjecture that a lot of conspiracy theorists are putting together. I'm just giving you theories here. I'm not saying this is fact or fiction. I'm just giving you some theories that's out there that could be possibilities. But this book talks about strategies that weak nations might be able to exercise to attack a superpower like the United States. They talk about how a small nation can harm a more powerful enemy just by damaging their economy and their political system. You come up with ways to damage a country's economy, you can bring that whole country down, because the military is fueled by the economy. And if they strategically did this, this was some genius shit, if we're going to be real. This is a possibility that they could have strategically done this. And understand, over in China right now, they're healing right now. They really have, over in China, they have the coronavirus pretty much under control. Many of the people are healing. Some of the industries are opening back up. Some of the factories are opening back up over there in China. Let's be real. The businesses, the tourism places, now they're not letting a lot of people in to visit, but the local people there, they're letting them go to the tourist spots. So we got to understand, they're getting their shit together over there now. They're getting better over there now. They're healing over there. So they're right back in the game right now. And not only that, while the world is sick in the United States, look at us right now. Our shit is shut down. The whole country is shut down right now. The economy is pretty much at a halt. This is why they're distributing military all over the place, because the United States is very vulnerable to an outside attack right now. Because right now we're wounded. And when you're wounded, boy, the other hounds smell blood. Let's be very clear. When your economy has halted right now and shit ain't running like it's supposed to run, that makes you vulnerable. Let's be very clear. And also over in China, they're making more money now, possibly, because they're selling all the medical supplies. I look at some of the trade sites over in China. All the medical supplies that we need, a lot of it is still coming out of China. They're like, hey, I heard y'all sick. We got something there to help you. So now they're making money hand over fist right now. You dig? So is this a possibility? America says they're lying, but who knows? Who knows? So we have to look at all the possibilities. You have the surgical mask or run out. They're sending surgical masks over. And I read some reports, some of the vaccines and stuff that they're trying to come up with, some of these vaccines have the damn coronavirus. Some of the surgical masks have the coronavirus. So
you know, you're in a really vulnerable position right now. So we don't know. But we got to understand how the game works out here. And if this was warfare, they got a bunch of sleeper cells over here too. You understand? Just imagine all the sleeper cells they have over here from their country. See, the white supremacists thought they were going to bash us over the head by making the Asians the honorary Aryans. But what if you don't have an Asian coon? What if this Asian person is loyal to his homeland and they want to do the bidding to help bring the country down? See, this is the pickle that the white supremacists get themselves into by trying to undermine us. You see? Look at the situation they're getting in. You don't know who, the model minorities, you don't know who the enemy is now. You don't know who the enemy is. It ain't black people. We know that. Black people, we've not spread any diseases or viruses or attacked this country militarily like that. We haven't done that. But you're so hell-bent on dominating and undermining us, you're tripping yourselves up. So the dominant society, see, they need to make a decision. See, what you need to do, if you did the right thing, give us our money that we're owed and stop trying to bash us over the head with these buffer class groups. Stop trying to use us to codify your own identity. See, us being on the bottom, that represents your identity as a white supremacist. See, you're going to have to get a new identity because all this shit is backfiring on you. All this stuff is backfiring on you. And now, again, with our economy is basically at a standstill right now, some of these other outside people, they're looking like, okay, this might be the right time to hit. So we got to look at this thing from all angles. We got to look at it from all angles. This thing is real out here. And we just got to stay on code as foundational Black Americans and make sure we good and stay on code. We're on code right now. We need to continue this code. We don't have to ingratiate ourselves with degenerate culture of white supremacist society. We damn sure don't need to get into no fake ass minority coalition that doesn't exist. We ain't going for that minority coalition garbage because it doesn't exist and we ain't playing that game. It's all about us right now. We're going to make it all about us. And I look, trust me, I know about the whole 5G technology thing. That's a possibility too. That is a possibility. I know about the radiation. I've seen doctors, people at hospitals talking about how this thing might be a radiation thing. I've heard that. Another thing I know that, and I want all my black people who work in the medical field to be careful because a lot of these hospitals are trying to send black folks down to work in the coronavirus ward around all these sick people without the proper protections. I'm seeing a lot of that around the country. My girl in DC hit me to some stuff going on out there, how a lot of black folks are talking about quitting because they're trying to send all the black workers down here to the coronavirus patients and they don't have the proper gloves, the proper mask. They're not giving them the proper tools they need. And they're like, yeah, go down there or else. And black folks are like, man, fuck all that. So yeah, my black folks who work at these medical facilities, please be careful. And as a matter of fact, and this is the perfect time for us to start providing some of that stuff too. So we really got to be, yeah, they might try to offer triple overtime and all that, but hell, if you get that damn Rona, yeah, black nurse died down in New Orleans. Yeah, this thing is real. Yes, Dr. Phil Valentine be breaking this stuff down. I talked to Phil Valentine today, as a matter of fact. Shout out to my brother. You did? So we got to watch the game and we got to be very careful out here. And I want to put something together for some of the black workers out here because I got something going on at our facility. Again, I have a warehouse facility so we can put together certain things And, you know, I've been donating money to the folks in L.A. so some of the black folks downtown L.A. can get some of the things they need. We're going to put together some stuff for black people in the medical field around the country, too. That's coming soon. I like to wait until I get the thing rolling before I let people know what it is. But this thing is getting crazy out here, so we got to be on top of our game. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Y'all need to go to iTunes and Google Play. Everybody, do the pre-order for the new Mink Slide album right now. Go to iTunes and Google Play. Get that pre-order right now. Also, if you have not subscribed right here to Tariq Radio on YouTube, y'all hit that subscribe button. Subscribe right now. And I will holla. Y'all be good.